Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello. Welcome to the show, Super Mamas. My name is Brisa Lopez. I'm like, what is my name again? I'm at that point. It's like the pandemic has really hit that point where I'm just like, wait, my name is
what's my name?
Name is what? My name is who? Dude, I just aged myself.
What the hell is wrong with you today?
I know. This is me, and this is me without alcohol or drugs. Can you imagine what it would be like if I was drunk? I have two children, a 7-month-old and a 5-year-old, and I am Paulina's sister and the co-host of this podcast, and that's just all about I know about myself right now.
Hi, everyone. I am also sober, and my name is Paulina. I have 3 girls, 9, 6, and 3, and yeah, we're sisters, co-hosts of your favorite podcast, the Super Mama Podcast. Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood, to the new listeners and to our longtime listeners. Ladies, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We love you so, so much. If you don't follow us on our social media, please do so at _Supermamas on Instagram and Twitter, Super Mamas Podcast on Facebook, and supermamas.com on the web. If you want, you can also send us an email at hello@supermamas.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 424-326-3707. You can vent. We don't charge. You can just vent for free.
The way we vented with our guest today on the show. Paulina, let's talk about our guest, and then let's go talk about our week. But yes, we just vented this entire episode. This poor woman, she's a therapist. It came to talk about her practice. And then ended up just being a third super mama listening
giving
to us.
Giving us a lesson. No, I mean, giving us a lesson. Giving us a free session of us just like pouring our heart out about our kids. We're like, yeah, we can't take it anymore. Brisa, tell us a little bit about who she is.
Our guest today is Dr. Maritza Milkulic, a licensed marriage and family therapist with a doctoral degree in psychology. She comes from a traditional Mexican family. She was raised in the U.S. Spanish is her first language. You know, her parents are from Michoacan. She has studied abroad in Guadalajara and Madrid, and has therapy experience working in different settings, including youth and parents and foster care, teenagers in group homes, children in schools who struggle with behavioral issues, individuals struggling with co-parenting issues, and crisis intervention with all age groups, which is what we need, Paulina.
We all need
parenting intervention. So she's incredible. She provides individual family and couples therapy virtually to people struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, life stressors, and relational problems, which technically means
check. We all need
all
her
of
in
us.
Our lives.
All yep. of us.
I know. So as she was speaking, I was like, check, 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 check. Oh my God, what is happening with our life?
I know. But we talked about everything. We talked about something called positive discipline.
Who knew?
I had no idea, but I'm like legit Googling. I think this is going to be my mantra. But anyway, we just poured our hearts out to this poor doctor, and I hope you guys enjoy the show. But before we get to the show, Paulina, how has been your week?
My week has, you know, I'm here. I'm surviving. I think I have this new, my new mantra is like, you're still here. I'm still here. You know, I'm saying that's something, you know, I'm just, you know, the day that I don't wake up, entonces ya se acabó todo, but as long as I wake up, you know what I mean? As long as I wake up every day, I'm still here. I'm still fighting. I'm still pushing. And, you know, like people keep saying that this is about to end, but I don't really see the end of this, but you know, we're still here. And that's something, and that's something good.
I know. Who would have thought? We're officially like a year in into this pandemic. And yeah, I mean, what can I say?
I know.
My son, however, I think I've spoken about this, is going back to school 3 hours a day, 4 times a week.
How has that been?
You know, drop off is at 9 a.m. and pick up is at 12 p.m. How anybody, you know, lives their life around that, I don't know. I don't even know what's better, him staying here or having to do pickups and drop offs from 9 to 12.
I know, you drop off at 9, you get to casa like 9:20. You're like, oh my God, it's already 11:40. I have to go. It's like
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. And then I drop them off with my 7-month-old in the car, and I'm just hoping she doesn't fall asleep, because when she comes back, she takes her nap and hopefully she wakes up by the time it's time to pick up her brother. So, it's all about schedules. And also, you know, we have to pack snacks, which is actually packing a snack. I will say it's better than packing like full on lunch. So
that is true. That is true.
And, you know, we talked about giving children chores with the doctor or guest today. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of cooking, me and my son. He's been taking cooking classes on Zoom, and he just loves the kitchen. And like the first day that it was time to go to school, solito abrió el cajón. He took out his lunch tray, his lunch box that he hasn't used in a year.
Aww.
And he's just made his own snack.
What did he do?
He puts it together by himself.
Wow.
Which I'm like, wow. I mean, maybe a lot of moms who are listening right now, they're like, well, of course, he is 5, or he's about to be 6. Like, it's a normal thing for 6-year-olds to do. Kind of like when I called you out on like on six step being able to ride the scooter. I'm like, well, he's 3. Isn't that normal? But you know, for me, it's like the first time I saw him, and I was just like, what? You're packing your own snacks? And I just let him. And you know what? Whatever he wants to pack, like if you want to take 2 cookies and 3 cherries, yeah, that's your choice. But we received the Sabra.
Oh my God, yes.
Like dipping things.
Yes.
So Paulina can tell you more about them, but he doesn't take the whole thing. Like he opens it up. He takes a little taco roll, like the tortilla rolls, puts them in his lunchbox. Then he cuts it. He cuts the package and takes only the dip on the side.
What?
Like, it's so weird the way like he organizes the tray. And then he shows me. He's like, Mom, look the way I organized it today. And I'm like, oh, I love it.
Because he repacks it on his lunchbox.
And his lunch, yeah, he repacks it on his lunchbox. And it's just like, I know, it just makes me so proud. And he'll have like the tortilla rolls, 2 cookies, cherries, and the dip. So I need to buy like more like meats. Like what are those? Like charcuterie meats?
Yes.
Because he loves those. Because I keep telling him, you need to take a protein. So he's like, oh, okay. So
I love kind of the I got some too, and I have to confess that I probably have eaten more than my kids of those little snacks, because they're so easy. They're so easy. The kids love it. Like you say, they're just, they're already like packed. So they just grab them from the fridge and I don't have to worry about that. So that.
What are they called? Like, what are their actual names? Just because I want the moms to be able to buy these or look for them when they go to the grocery stores. But so the actual kits are what we're talking, the snack kits we're talking about. They're the Sabra Kids plant-based snack dips.
Yes.
Look for them in your local grocery store, but like.
And it's not chocolate. One, it's actually like brownie. It's brownie batter. So when I told Sabina, she was like, what does that mean? I'm like, you know, when we're making, cupcakes and you want to eat the thing before it bakes, she's like, uh-huh. I'm like, that's exactly what it is. And she was like, oh, no way. You're letting me eat that. I'm like, yeah. Sure. Amazing. And you know, they're plant-based, which I told them later that they're plant-based. And Krista was like, there's no way this is plant-based, Mom. I like it. So it's not plant-based. I'm like,
that's hilarious.
It is totally plant-based, girl.
But yeah, that's sort of like my life right now.
That's good. Is he happy at school though? I mean, is he happy that he sees his friends or like, what?
Yes, of course he's happy. I mean, he's so excited about going to school. Like, you know, he wakes up and he's excited and, you know, but again, you know, it's just like 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm. 9 to 12. No, I mean, at this point we had a meeting at school, and, you know, they are going to take back a lot of the really high needs kids. And one of the things that I told the school was like, look, I think at this point, the kids need like just the socialization. My kids just want to see their friends. So I suggested, and I think that's something that the school is going to start doing, is like they're going to put more like community-based activities so that we can, as a community, get together and, you know, safely. And so the kids can see each other, because that's what it's all about, right? It's, I mean, he's va por tres horas. Like, he can't really be doing like, oh my God, he's doing all his schoolwork in 3 hours. Plus, yeah, they have to take the snack, but it's the socialization that they need, you know, I think that we all need.
Right. It's for me, I mean, I totally, you know, 100% there with you. It also kind of breaks my heart a little bit, the fact that he has to stay 6 feet away from his friends still, and he has to wear a mask, you know, and like the other day he was like, Mom, today we got to play in the structure. And you know what the best part was? I was like, what? He's like, I didn't have to stay 6 feet away. And I was like, like, my heart just broke and I like, yeah, wanted to cry. But I was just like, oh, that's so wonderful. Like, how fun, you know? And I'm just like, but they, I mean, they're so safe. They have like hand washing stations all over. And, but you know, again, like, I think it's, you know, we're vaccinated also. Like, I think I want to, you know, speak on the importance of actually getting vaccinated. Like, I feel so much safer now.
Yeah.
You know, the teachers are getting vaccinated as well. I hear of a few parents in my kids' classrooms are getting vaccinated. So just like, the more and more people start getting vaccinated, maybe we wear masks so that we don't have to stay 6 feet away from each other. Like, so I think like it's a great way to sort of ease into school as well. Cause I don't, you know, hopefully they'll go longer, you know, yeah, next month or 3 months. I mean, there's been zero talk about that, but I'm just thinking like,
but also think it's like
from 9 to 2.
Yeah. But also I think it's like more like of a mental, yeah, you know, once I got the vaccine, like I felt, I mean, I had already got sick, so, you know, I felt a little bit more safe. Unfortunately, that sucks to say, but you know, once I got the vaccine too, I was just like, oh, okay. Like, I feel more at ease. I feel more safe. I don't feel, my level of anxiety went from like 105 to like 100, you know what I mean? So it like a little bit, it went down. The anxiety went down just, you know, in general. Once I got the vaccine, and I think it just, my mood is, yeah, I felt more confident. This past weekend, I want to share that for the first time in my life, I took a ride with my bike on the street, not on a bike path.
Wow. The vaccine. What did the vaccine do to you? It just, you know, gave me a shot of like of a bravery.
Honestly, I was just like, okay, if, you know, hopefully I won't die. But I was so proud of myself, because I was like, I just learned to ride this thing. I mean, like a year and a half ago. And so I was kind of scared, but I was like, well, you know, it is what it is. Let's just go with it. And I went, and, you know, I was legit like making stops on the red light, you know, turning and going on the bike path on the street, you know, like in the avenues, they have like the bikes.
I know. Gracias.
Next to the cars. Yes. I was riding my bike, and I felt so like, after, I was just like, oh my God, I did that. That was so cool. I was so proud of myself, because, you know, like, I've waited all my life to do that. It's kind of like, you know, one of those things that I always saw on TV, or, you know, not even on TV, just people on the street, you know, like riding a bike. I was like, one day that's going to be me. And then now it was, and it was really fun. So then I told my husband, I'm like, now I need to learn to ride a scooter. I don't know when, but yeah, I want to learn how to ride those scooters. And like, when you go, yeah, you go on the scooters.
Yeah. Wait, did you go ride by yourself, or were you?
I went with a friend. No, I went with a friend. I went with my friend.
Ah.
Yeah, we went. You know, she told me we should go for a bike ride, and I was like, I was like, okay. She was like, I'll go behind. You know, if you fall, I'll stop. And I was like, okay. So then we did, and it was so much fun. You know, we rode. You know, my friend Jackie, like, we rode from her house to the beach. So it was like, it's, you know, it was like all the avenue, and we got there, and I was just like, oh my God, dude, I did that. And she was like, yeah, I told you. I was like, I know, I'm here. So that was fun. It was really, really fun. I'm so proud. I was so proud of myself. I was so proud of myself.
I did that. I'm so proud of you, Paulina. Oh, conquering your fears.
conquering my fears. I did conquer my fears. I did not die. I did not get run over. I did not fall. And it was fun. It was actually fun to see, like, just to be out, you know, just to feel, I mean, you know, had a mask and everything, but it was just I felt that, ¿cómo te diré? That feeling, you know, I don't know if you know that, but the feeling of like just riding and just feeling the air in your face and you're like, oh my God, I'm not falling. I'm actually like gliding through. That was like really fun. So my next step.
I don't know that feeling. Did you open up your arms and close your eyes?
No, not yet. I don't see, like, she was like taking video, and I was like, put your hands back on the wheel. And she was like, you know, because, you know, people be riding forever. And I'm like, my glasses were like falling on my face, and I couldn't even push them back because I was like, if I like let go of this, me voy a caer. But it was good. And I think, like, I'm going to start slowly with the family, with my husband, with the kids. I think it's a little bit more tricky with the kids because I'm, you know, watching them, but it was really fun. And I really know
every time when I see like families out on the street riding with their children and like, you know, like, I'm like, how can you even focus? Like, your child is riding a bike in the street with cars. Like, no, I said, no, like,
I know. Que gente tan loca. Que gente tan loca riding on the street with the bike. I know, that tells you what kind of, you know, growing up, we did never rode bikes, guys. So, you know, don't judge us. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I conquered one more of my fears. So that was fun. I know. I have become one of those crazy people, Rizia.
Wow.
Riding on
the bike. ¿Cómo dice papá? Que intrépida. Que intrépida, Palina.
Well, you know.
Yo aquí con mi pelotón estoy bien.
Well, you know, it's like our guest from today said, like, I have to be the example for my children, you know, and we are
their role models, which is so scary to think about. Well, speaking of our guests, let's get to the show. Without further ado, here is our episode with
Dr. Maritza Mikulic.
Welcome to the show, Maritza. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me, ladies, here today.
Oh, thanks for making the time. We know all of us are extremely, you know, tight for time now these days.
Of course.
Yes, thank you so much for coming. We always, you know, what I love about the podcast so much is that I learn so much as I grow and as I go with like my relationships, with my kids, with my everything. And I'm always like, we need help. We need to bring someone on the show that does this and this and this. So I love it. I'm growing with the show. Thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Please tell us who you are, who you're quarantining with. Who you're quarantining with, what do you do? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm married. I'm quarantined with my husband and my two kids. I have a recently turned 4-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl. So crazy. Oh, wow. Little girl. Yeah. But I don't know if I would say I'm quarantining. My husband and I never actually had that option to completely quarantine because he's a high school teacher and I'm a full-time therapist, and I started a part-time private practice during the pandemic. So,
wow, that's amazing. That's great. I love hearing these positive stories from the pandemic.
Yeah. Growing business.
Well, I will have to say that if one thing we need during this pandemic are people like you, Maritza.
Thank you. Actually, I have so many people reaching out to me, and it just motivated me to do it. You know, yeah, I was helping families. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about anxiety in children, because I know that a lot of moms, myself included, have dealt with this issue, and, you know, with screen time and stuck in the house and not being able to see people. And sometimes I don't want to be the person that's labeling my kid's emotions, not knowing what he's feeling, and, you know, bestowing, like, what is it, mirroring my anxiety towards him. Maybe he's not really feeling anxiety and I'm the one feeling anxiety and I'm mirroring my emotions and he's fine. You know, like, what can you talk to us? Can you talk to us about anxiety in children and maybe ask some signs that we can look for, or just help me out, girl.
Help us out.
Of course, of course. That's why I'm here, right? So when we look at children, we look at emotions and behaviors, okay? So when we're looking at signs, we're trying to really tune into their body, tune into what they're saying essentially and what they're doing. So some of the things that we notice in kids is, you know, constant worries, negative thoughts, muscle tension, being fidgety, irritable, restlessness, difficulty concentrating, trouble sleeping, like falling asleep, or even like waking up throughout the night or having more nightmares than normal. Fears, I would say, is a big one right now. Yep, we'll talk about fears. And then eating, just eating habits changing, either eating too much, eating too little. And then like sometimes it's physical complaints for kids. It tends to be like stomach or headaches, right? Isolation, right? Just kind of not wanting to be even around the family, just noticing there's been a change and they're withdrawing more. Or sometimes the kids are too clingy. They don't want to leave your side or they're more scared. Or they're refusing to do something that typically would bring them joy. And now as we look at, you know, going back to school and going back to socializing and things like that, it would be refusing to go to school. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
you literally just mentioned like everything. Single feeling. So I'm all like going through my head, like, yes, 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 yes.
No, as you were speaking, I too was thinking about, I'm having right now, I'm not going to say a problem, but you know, we're going through a stage with my oldest daughter. She's 9 and you know, she's in fourth grade. And I think that's one of the reasons why I also wanted to have this episode was because I am trying to find resources, what to do with her. She is, I think with my 6-year-old and you know, my 3-year-old, you know, they're little, the 3-year-old hasn't really had any change because she's been home and then she's home, right? She's been home. But my 9-year-old, she's going through this stage where first she had like a huge growth, how do you say it? Yes. during the pandemic, where I've noticed, like I was looking at pictures of her the other day where, you know, she, when we started the pandemic, she started as a little girl and now she's no longer a little girl. You know, now she looks more like, you know, like an old, like a preteen kind of, she's only 9, but I can already see it. Her voice changed, her features changed, her body is completely changing, transforming. And we're going through this stage where, you know, socialization and emotional support is so important and she's been here stuck. So I've noticed a lot of things that have changed with her, even in the relationship that we have, even in the communication, you know, like, you know, you were saying, like, she's starting to like talk back and, you know, like questioning everything that I say. And it's not that she shouldn't question me. It's just like, I've seen a lot of behavioral issues. I've seen a lot of anxiety. I don't know if you can see, but I was looking at my cable and all these things that you see here are because she bites it. You know, she's biting it when she's in class, when she's, you know, she was biting her nails. At the beginning, I thought, oh my God, she just needs more, you know, she needs more, like my dad would say, she needs to work out, you know, and I actually even got her on the Peloton at times, you know, like, you know, let's do some workout, let's burn the energy. But, you know, she just keeps telling me, I can't believe it's been a year and I haven't seen my friends. I'm so sad that I haven't seen my friends. I'm so broke that I haven't seen my friends. And she's like, you don't understand, Mom. You don't understand what it's like for a kid, you know, right now, because I don't see them. And it's, I empathize with her, but like, I don't really know what to do, you know, at this point. And so that's why I wanted to, like, I'm sure there's a lot of moms going through there, because not only are we going through changes in stages with them in the pandemic, but we are in the middle of a pandemic. So it's like a double whammy. And I'm like, so, you know, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's right now I can say it's a very hard situation in this pandemic being a parent, right? Having to adapt to so much change in general and not only like grieving the losses of changes in your life or even structure and routine, but imagine that for a child who thrives from structure and routine and socialization, right? And the teachers and that structure in itself. So they lost so much. And so slowly they're looking to get that back. And, you know, I have seen more and more patients with this anxiety and depression as well, because essentially we were forced to isolate initially, right? Everything was shut down. Nobody can go out. Everybody was sent home, and it ended just like that. Yeah. So quickly, right? And so slowly, I think people started feeling it and feeling it as this became like a new day, but the same day at the same time, right? Like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I feel like we've lived the same day over and over and over again. So what are some of the things that as moms, we can do to, one, identify the things that are like, quote unquote, normal because we're in a pandemic right now, and the things that are like, okay, now we are going to need like additional help. We need to bring someone else. Like, at what point are we having to not only rely on what we know, our instincts, but at what point do we have to bring someone to help us out?
So I think if you observe and it's essentially affecting their day-to-day life, sometimes in children, what we see most is how it's affecting them in their school. Did they stop being interested in school? Are they now, their grades are declining? That's like the very first sign we usually see. Now, we can also observe changes like how they're, you know, taking care of themselves or not. Are they eating or not? So if their essential basic needs are suffering, then you should probably get some help.
Wow. Okay. So I'm feeling like, yes, yes. and you know what? And then sometimes I feel like, should I just not even at this point, not even worry about the school situation? You know, like it's, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, you know, should I not? Like, should I just let it go at this point? Or like, I don't even know, honestly.
So here's the thing with school, right? We want to normalize kids to go back to school. But it's a new normal. So I want to make sure that I say like normalizing the new norm, right? Normalizing the new socializations. And, you know, it's important to talk to your children to validate how they feel and see, listen to them and what they're saying. Be curious, like ask questions. If she's telling you, you don't know how I feel, mom, tell me more, right? Be curious about what that little person is telling you, right? And see if she has any ideas in terms of how she can, you know, re-socialize again while taking precautions, because it is possible.
Yeah. And also, but because most of the socialization that it's done right now, it's done through a screen. And so it's at the beginning, I was like, okay, well, you know, you can be on the screen. You can be with your friends. But then I started noticing that gave her more anxiety than it took away. So I think it's really hard to balance, because she would like rush through school because she wanted to be on the iPad or, you know, whatever. And then she'd be like, oh my God, I got to play with my friends. And then she's playing with her friends and she's like, ah, and she's like, they're all the same. And I'm not saying just her. I think I was talking to a parent the other day and we were, you know, sharing about, what is it, like you were saying, what is it going to be like when they go back? Because a lot of parents, some parents are watching over what their kids are taking in on the screen. How long are they doing it for? You know, I try to as much as I can, but I know that there's also parents that are not able to because they have to work and they, you know, so I feel like what kind of environment are we going to put them back when they go back? And, you know, how do we kind of filter that? How do we help them navigate?
Yeah. That? I think as parents, we all have to focus on what we can control, right? You can't focus on the stuff you can't. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that schools are being very cautious, because my husband's back to work full time as a teacher and they've taken a lot of precautions. So I know they talk about, you know, distancing the chairs, having half classrooms and wearing masks, right? And cleaning and all that safety precautions still in place. So, you know, part of it is trusting in your school that they are doing the best they can in the situation to bring them back safely. But you can be an advocate as well in your school to make sure you know what's going on there and that you feel they are taking those measures. And then your piece would be, you know, role modeling responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, teaching that, hey, as you go back to school, like, you know, a mask is important. You know, keeping your distance is important. It's okay to have limits. And if you're feeling uncomfortable to say, hey, I need to go, you know, to the bathroom, or I need to take a break, and walk away from anybody that's making you feel uncomfortable. So also teaching them about boundaries and then practicing those with them. You know, in therapy, we call this gradual exposure. And I think the school, going to like even the state, they're not just opening everything at the same time, 100%, right? There's outdoor dining. The classrooms are talking about half classrooms and rotating students, essentially, right? So gradually reintroducing them to these things slowly and cautiously, which is the same. Talk about it honestly with children. You know, we want to say, hey, this is what's happening. How are you feeling about it? You know, because they're watching you. That's the thing. Children are watching. What if you're on the news all the time, go as parents.
Yeah.
You're listening to things all the time, right? And they're hearing you even, you know, they can absorb that and say, well, I should be worried because you're their role model, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to really watch and observe what you're saying and what you're doing. I mean, if you want to call, if you guys want to call each other later and talk about exactly how you feel and think, that's fine. But with children and having them present and around, you just have to be a little bit more cautious because developmentally they're just not in the same, you know, mind state as you are.
Yeah, my son the other day was saying how he like wants to get the vaccine. Like he's like, Mom, I want to get the vaccine. Like how can I sign up for the vaccine? And then I had to explain, you know, the vaccine is only for adults, but once the adults are all vaccinated, it's gonna be safe for everybody. But like he was so excited. He was like, wait, am I going to be able to sign up for the vaccine? Like, he was just like, and the other day I heard him tell his friends, well, no one can come visit me unless they're vaccinated. Like, he was just so like, and then the other day he was like, what, do they have the two shots or only one shot? Like, he's just so, because we were talking about vaccines a lot here at the house. So like, I could totally tell how you're, I mean, of course our kids are only going to get the information from us and trust us more than anything, you know? And yeah, just really watch our conversations around them. And because we want to keep them informed, but I think information is very different than handing off our fear over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, if they don't need to know, they don't need to know everything going on, right? They don't need to hear about all the negative stuff going on in the world and your families and around you, right? I mean, they're children. They need to have fun. They need to play, right? They need to be outside. I mean, they need to be outside. I know everything's virtual and you guys were just saying how, you know, they see their friends virtually, they do this and they're kind of getting all these like anxieties around that even.
Yeah. I think I think that's one of the difficulties that as parents we have, because like, I want my kids to be outside. I even, you know, that's one of the reasons why we got a dog, because we're like, okay, now with the dog, you have to take him outside. You have to take him on a walk. You have to play with him outside. I made a schedule for her that it's super detailed as to like, you know, I have to wake up and then I have to take my dog out and then I have to do this and then I have to play with my dog. And then I even put like, you know, play with my siblings because I want them to play not in a virtual environment, but I want her to interact. I want all of them to play with each other. You know, we're grateful. I'm grateful that there's three of them and they can play. But I think they already crave that socialization so much. They really, really crave it. Even, you know, my 6-year-old, she gets excited when she does a virtual play day. She's like, when can I actually have a real play day with my friends? Or, you know, we have a neighbor that I would say it's not part of like a pod because I don't really know what they do, but we have a fence and they have conversations over the fence and they're like, when can she come? Or when can, you know, how do we encourage that? How do we balance that where ourselves, you know, when I feel that every time that I have a few minutes of like free time, I have to get something done for work or for something else, because I have to, you know, once school is done, I'm like, okay, now that school's done, I have to get other things done. And so I feel guilty at the end of the day, because I'm like, okay, what should I, am I playing with them? Should I be outside with them? Like, it's, I think we're all in that very, in a constant, like, anxious state right now. And it's hard as a parent to try to balance that. And so, you know, I'm not really sure how to contribute to that bucket of my emotionally of my children when we are also so spent as parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, something I always encourage families to do is to spend time together, but you know, that can also be outside, like taking family walks, taking family bike rides, right? If you have a neighbor essentially throwing the ball back and forth, right? Or things like that can still be done safely. You said your neighbor is on the other side of the fence. So essentially they can still play. It might not be, you know, next to each other in this moment if you don't feel comfortable with that. But if you do, you can always do neighbor walks as well. And I've seen lots of families social distance and take hikes and do picnics with blankets side to side, right? And in the park and just open space, everybody brings food, right? You still wear masks and you still take the precautions, right? You still would wash your hands. You still, you know, if you're sick, don't go out, right? You be responsible in that way. I think that's important, just controlling you and, you know, being around families that you think and you know are like-minded, or, you know, taking their own precautions.
Yeah. So when we see these signs, again, the ones you listed, and, you know, like my sister and I were like, yes, yes. How do we approach our children first? How do we get on their level, and how do we help them through their anxiety? How do we help them cope with it, and how do we help them move past it? And how do we help them sort of retake that same energy that they had before and, you know, thrive in this next phase of, you know, of the new normal that's happening right now and every day evolving?
Yeah. You know, one of the only things we know about, you know, life, right, is that things are constantly changing. So if we can essentially teach our children to be flexible, resilient, open to change, right? So if you yourself can maintain that attitude of being able to overcome these situations time and time and again, that's one way we can teach our children in those moments when you see that they're struggling, right? Have these conversations with them. Say, you know, I notice you've been talking a lot about, you know, vaccines. Tell me how you feel about that. Or I notice you're not so sure about going back to school. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I thought you'd be excited, but tell me more, you know? Mm-hmm. And so just kind of opening that door for them to be able to talk about it is so important, because they get to express to you how they feel, how they think. And if they do think negatively, and if they do have resistance to going back, working through that, you know, saying, I know how you feel, right? Saying, I've been there too, you know, and there's sometimes things that we have to face in order to, you know, move forward, right? Because essentially, if we feared everything in life, we wouldn't be driving, we wouldn't be crossing the street, right? We wouldn't be going anywhere. And that's not good for anybody's mental health. So right. There has to be a balance, essentially.
Yeah. Now I want to like flip it a little bit and talk about also discipline, because one of the things that, you know, being at home with children, you know, working, especially for the moms who are working, or even just the moms who are working in their home as home takers, you know, taking care of children homeschooling them requires discipline and requires, you know, the children to have structure. And when the structure is broken, a lot of them can talk back, you know, like you say, it could be signs of anxiety. And I'm always sort of like in that fine line of, I'm like feeling empathetic towards the children, but at the same time, it's like, bro, you can't just be acting a fool here. Like there's gotta be rules. And, you know, and I'm sorry for screaming yesterday. I just lost my shit. Like, I mean, I don't tell him I lost my shit, but like, I do lose my shit. And how do we, yeah. So like, how do we implement discipline during these times, taking into consideration anxiety behind it? Because that's
another, their emotions.
That's another thing that I struggle with as well. Like, you know, I don't, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, they also don't go wild and mm-hmm. all they do is just, you know, do whatever they want. You know what I mean? Like, and also because I think, I don't know actually if it's because our background or we're Latinas, we're like from Oaxaca, my mom was always like super strict with us. And the other day I was having a conversation with my husband where I said, I know that I definitely do not parent like my mom. Like I don't scream the things my mom would scream at me. I don't get anywhere near at that level of, I'm going to call it discipline. But then I tell him, but I wonder if like, I don't have to get to the level for him to feel the emotions, you know, mm-hmm. like I wonder if, you know, if I raised my voice, if that made him feel a certain way, you know, obviously like I'm not being physical with him at all, but like, I wonder if like he still feels like it's almost like an emotional beating in a way, you know, because I raised my voice. So I just sort of like go through these things at night. And I think it's every mom, like they go through night, like once everything's quiet, they're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have like raised my voice that time. Like, oh my gosh, you know? But yeah, how do you, are any like books that you recommend? Are there any like ways, any techniques that you encourage parents to implement during these times?
You know, I think it's, you're speaking about a lot, but, different things, but I do want to point out the normalcy in what you're feeling.
Oh, girl, let me just tell you that I speak a lot about a lot of things like very often. So we always go into tangents here. So forgive me, but yes, go ahead.
The hardest for parents right now who are teaching children at home is that you've been given a completely different role as a teacher. And so that in itself, not fair, right? As a parent, you're having to completely change the structure of your parenting because you also have to get into that role of being a teacher. And so, you know, it can be normal for kids to be more defiant, right? And be oppositional to listening and doing because you're the only person they're seeing essentially right now. And so, you know, there's some normalcy in all these behaviors, right? And so that's why it's that much more important though to reintroduce kids to some normalcy or, you know, have, if you're still going to have kids at home for a long time, maybe it's time to get one person in to support them in their studies. Right? Like a tutor or someone or a teacher, because they have all these different programs and things now that can support parents in this way. And I think if you can trust in one person, you know, this might be very important for your well-being and for your kids' well-being and for your relationship with your kids, which is most important, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of different books on positive discipline out there. One of the authors or names out there is Jane Nielsen, I believe. She does have her own podcast and she does have some books and tips out there. But positive discipline is essentially, you know, how to speak to your kids, how to help them deal with situations like emotions, how to normalize emotions, and how to take an approach, you know, that's gentle with kids.
Right. I'm just like unfamiliar with the term positive discipline.
Yeah. What is
positive? And maybe like maybe we need to have an entire podcast about positive discipline. I would be very curious to learn more because, I mean, again, I don't have a model, and that should not be an excuse, right? And again, listen, my level of parenthood, I think it's like an A+ compared to what my mother, and doesn't say anything about my mom. I mean, I turned out incredible. I owe her everything. But at the same time, I want to evolve and I want him to have, you know, a positive experience when it comes to structure and discipline. And that's sort of the journey that I'm currently in.
Yeah. So essentially it's like a non-reactive approach. And essentially what you do is like, instead of taking away, like, you know, the consequence, it's about not taking away those things that like create more reaction from a kid, right? I think a lot of parents that I see tend to take away the technology. Well, I'm going to take her.
Oh, I'm the queen.
I'm the queen.
I'm the queen of taking stuff away.
I think there's 3 apps left on her iPad.
So, but let's be honest, that's kind of a Latina thing to do. Like, I think that comes from like, I'm going to take that you can't watch TV and you can't do this and you can't do that, right? And it's like the list of what you can't do anymore.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even relevant to what the person did, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So essentially with positive discipline, you teach them about like the do's and don'ts, but if there's going to be some consequence, it's related to what they did. Mm. So let's
say, give us an example. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's say they didn't clean the dishes and their job is to clean the dishes. Well, essentially you let them know that they made a choice, right, to not clean the dishes, and that, you know, since they've chosen to do that, you kind of have to give them a choice, right? And make them understand that that was their responsibility. But rather than taking like something else away, you implement something relevant. So you would say, so since you've decided not to do the dishes tonight, we're going to have you do this other chore before you get to watch your TV. Right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that's the structure and routine. Everybody watches a movie at night. Well, this person doesn't get to do that until she completes that task, right? Another chore maybe because they've decided not to do it, for example.
What happens when they just like have a tantrum and they won't stop crying?
So like, that's an interesting one. Yeah.
Like, if you don't stop crying, I'm taking things away. Like, I think like, I guess I would say like the healthy thing is for them to express their emotions, right, and not take their emotions away from them. Like, that's like the actual like thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of toddler tantrums right now, so I mean it's normal. But I'm wondering how old the tantrum for the child is it coming from, because there's some normalcy to it, right? And so are we talking about like 10? Are we talking?
I'm talking about 6.
Okay. That's still pretty normal to have emotional reactions. If they're few and far between and they're not happening constantly. So, you know, I think the best thing to do for situations where there's a lot of emotions is to, you know, take a break, even take a mom break. Like, you don't even have to, you know, let them know they need to go to their rooms, but it's like, I need a break right now. You know, I see that you're upset right now and I'll be back. Right.
Yeah,
so
I do that all the time. It like causes a bigger, like they want, like he like loves. Yeah. And then right now I'm just spilling my heart and soul to you and like giving you all my problems. beginning very specific, but it's like, if it's like a tantrum, I just say, you know, I'm like from the right parenting world. So I'm totally like the, I see you're crying. Like, I hear that you're upset. I need to step away and go to my room. And oh my gosh, it's like, it comes worse. Cause he like, I think he like knows that him being next to me is like when it really hits that nerve. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have something similar, and I mean, I think we're just projecting it now, but it, you know, like for example, last night, right? I got in the shower and I told my kids, I'm like, you guys want to shower with me? Let's go. So then I got in the shower and they didn't. And once they saw me inside, they started like hollering. And I was like, get in the shower. I'm already wet. Like I'm getting in the shower. And then it was just like, mommy. like someone was cutting their leg off. And so what I did, I just closed my bathroom door. And I was like, it hurts my heart so much to hear them. But I was like, what else can you do? So, you know, until when do we like, you know what I mean?
Marit is like, if you guys need a private session one-on-one, yes, my number.
You know what? I'm so used to people pouring their hearts out. It's funny. It must be something in me. I've always been told, you know, random people always tell me their stuff. But you guys aren't random, you know. But I think what you did was really, you know, healthy, though.
Okay. Okay.
I feel guilty. I know.
One, I feel guilty. And two, I'm like, the neighbors are going to think that I'm doing something and I'm going to have like child services knocking on my door. Honestly, because I had an experience with child services with my first daughter a long, 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 long time ago that had, you know, that also was like a neighbor. So I think that that also was like, oh my God, like, you know, they're going to, and I tell them, I'm like, they're going to come and get you. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, it causes so much more anxiety.
Va a venir la policía. That's like such a like, thing to do.
You know what I mean?
Ya viene la policía a llevar.
Ya viene la policía, te va a llevar. You know, no, I don't tell them that. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. And then.
Se roba chicos. Ya viene roba chicos.
And then everything is like, well, you know, it's just because we're in the pandemic. And it's the same thing. Like I was telling my sister, I'm like, es que el COVID, you know, everything's like, es que es el COVID. And so when you say that automatically, it's like, okay, so then I'm stuck now. Like, I don't know where to go because it's COVID. You know what I mean? So it's, I think a lot of parents feel like that. And the answer to everything is like, oh, it's because of COVID. Honestly, that's just like a real thing. Everybody's like, it's COVID, you know? So I don't know. I think like we're walking a really fine line between like disciplining the kids, trying to discipline the kids, but also acknowledging their feelings. And it's hard. It's a really hard situation that everybody's going through right now.
There's just so much responsibility on your plate. That's the thing as a parent. So, you know, I tell parents, like, what can you let go of? Let go of the dirty house then. Like, let go of that. Let go of the things. It's not, your house isn't going to fall apart. Okay. The dirt will be there tomorrow. No.
Again, we're Mexican.
And then I'm going to have a son who's crying and a cucaracha walking down the floor and I'm going to just make things worse.
But actually, that brings up another point. Like, kids should have chores, you know? You need to start dispersing responsibilities. I mean, my 4-year-old and my 3-year-old. Help me, my 2-year-old and my 4-year-old help me put their own clothes away when I fold them. And my 4-year-old is interested in learning to fold. So it's like teaching them these things are essentially helping you too eventually, right? And so now that you guys have older kids or, you know, a couple of you guys do, then, you know, it's time to teach them too to do some of their own stuff and maybe even structuring that time. Like, hey, it's cleaning time. We're all cleaning here.
Yeah. So my schedule is a thumbs up.
Yeah, you have that down. Check.
I mean, they're not following it, but it's in the wall. Made it to the wall. Well, thank you so much, Marisa, for the free session that you gave Brisa and I today.
Marisa's like, I was tricked. I thought you guys were worried about me, and it turns out that you guys just wanted to vent about your child problems.
No, you know, it's just, I think like, I think we just mirror a lot of what's happening out there with a lot of the parents, you know. I think a lot of the parents are just like, ya estamos hasta aquí, you know, like hasta, estoy hasta aquí del COVID, de todo.
Del COVID.
El COVID, like everything's happening and like, you know, things are getting better, but school's not really happening like before. So we're still stuck in this situation for a little while more, for like, I don't know how long more. So we just need tools and, you know.
Yes, I say
you want to hear us.
Roll with the punches. Ask for help. If you have a family member you trust and lives near you, ask that one person for help. That's the thing. You got to slowly do it in order to get back to some normalcy at some point. Like, reintroduce them to restaurants. I mean, I have to say that I come from a family with a local restaurant owner. So like, come on, let's do this. Go outside and dine. I mean, we're not saying go inside, hug people. We're not saying be in people's faces, right? Sit in your own table.
Yep.
Okay, Bricia, please come and watch my kids.
Yes. See, if you guys are being safe, like, you guys can swap and, you know, do what you no. can.
It's not a fair swap. It's really not a fair swap. It would have to be like, Paulina had to take care of my kid like 4 days, and now I do like 1 day.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, well, thank you so much, Marisa.
Paulina will probably take care of my daughter for free. Just like, just give me the baby. Just give me the baby. She just wants to hug a baby.
The baby. Actually, you come drop off the baby. Stay with one kid. I'll keep four. That's fine.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Marisa. How can our moms find you, call you at an event as well, and, you know, hire you more than yeah. support you?
So they can find me on my website. It's drmikulich.com. They can call me for a free consultation, and I can see them virtually through video or phone, whatever their preference is. So, yeah, just reach out to me, and I'll be available.
Thank you. Much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Papa Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
And we're back.
We are back. Thank you, Maritza. Thank you, Maritza, for being here. And thanks for listening to our... through our struggles. I'm sorry for throwing up on you, girl.
But let's move on to brighter and better things, like our pick our tip of the week. Brisa, what do you have this week?
You know what? I am going to keep it relevant. I am going to talk about, by the way, BTW, this is completely non-sponsored. I just feel so inclined to talk about vaccinations. Mm-hmm. Como dijera, you know, people who are really into their intuition, like, I just feel like my intuition is telling me that I should be sharing this with the world. I just keep hearing so much misinformation and so much fear around vaccines, about the COVID vaccine. And it's really sad to see that it really is our community mm-hmm. that has so much misinformation and not wanting to get that vaccine, when our community is the most affected because of COVID.
100%.
And the people who are dying the most are Latinos and Blacks, and yet the Latino population is like hesitant to take the vaccine. And I don't understand the logic behind it. And I understand people have a lot of reservations. I am not a doctor, but all I can tell you is that I personally got the vaccine. My husband's gotten the vaccine. My sister, my brother, or her parents. I am all for it. And I just would just like for you all to go and get educated. And if it's your turn, please take advantage and go get vaccinated. Like, it's a privilege to be able to get it. Like, there's so many countries that don't have the supply. So please just go. I live in Los Angeles. So the way that I was able to figure out how to get, number one, if I'm eligible, or how to get an appointment, is my turn. Oh, yeah. So the website is myturn.ca.gov. Again, myturn.ca.gov. It's such a great place to get not only information, but to see if you qualify, and then grab your appointments. If you're eligible now, I just highly encourage you. So that's just going to be my pick, I guess, the COVID vaccine.
100%. I think I feel that whenever I heard all these things about the vaccine, you know, you can either choose to believe the people that give you that misinformation and actually or actually do the, you know, the research yourself, but go to reliable sources. Do not go to Facebook and just, you know, see what your friends are sharing or your comadre or your tias, you know, that
have no idea. Like, let's believe science, not some random science. Dude on Facebook.
That's like 100%. Not some random dude. 100%. All of those things that they said, you know, I did my research. I went on the websites. I went to check, just to read up on every single one of the vaccines. And honestly, guys, I feel that, you know, at this point, we should really, you know, it's the same thing. When the COVID started, no one believed in it. And everyone did because they realized that it was, you know, a real thing. And then now it's the same thing with the vaccine. So just don't, you know, even if it's like, you're like, oh, I don't know, guys, I don't know. Well, then do your own research and, you know, but go and get informed. And if you can, get the vaccine. My tip this week, my pick this week is also going to be something relevant to the episode that we did. I was mentioning that I use a couple of different tools with my daughter. And my therapist actually recommended this. It's called Crazy Errands Thinking Putty, PUTTY. It's kind of, I'm going to say it's kind of like a Play-Doh. It looks kind of like a Play-Doh. And I was like, I don't know if I want to get one of those, but it's not a Play-Doh. It is actually a tool that helps kids ease their, it's actually used for studying, for school stress. And the kids can actually play with it, use it with their hands. It's relaxing. The one that I got my daughter, they have all sort different ones. They have ones that's like that have smell sensories. I gave her the one that is called, I think it's called Drama Queen or something. But like as much the harder she stretches it, the harder it gets. So like she gets challenged. She takes out her energy, and she also like feels relaxed when she plays with it. And then when she's in school, she's like, she's with it. And she's told me like, she's like, oh mom, I actually like this a lot. And so, you know, it's called again, Crazy Errands Putty, and they have all sorts of colors and smells and different.
Is it safe to chew? Cause I feel like if I gave one of those to my son, like he would like.
No, it looks like slime. It looks like a slime. So it's like, it's kind of like a slime. It's not an object. It's a slime. So it's kind of like a Play-Doh slime. So he can, you know, make forms, you know, use it, but also like pull it apart, put it together, pull it. Like it's, my therapist told me that that's one of the tools that a lot of people use with kids.
Ooh,
so
I'm going to get one.
Yeah, I got it. I got mine. I got mine from Target, and it was, I've seen them on Amazon, but it was cheaper on Target when I saw it. So I got it on Target. Perfect. That is my tip for this week. And yeah, guys.
Hashtag add to cart.
Add to cart. I think that's it. Is there anything else, Risha?
No, I'm looking for a babysitter. If anybody knows somebody, is there like a bulletin board? I'm looking for looking for someone to come like help me.
Help.
Help.
Help. Please.
I'm looking for a full-time babysitter. If anybody knows of somebody, hit me up. Let me know.
100%. Guys, please send over. Send
putting over. Putting it out there.
Send over.
SOS.
Send help. Hashtag send help.
I was just remember when Eduardo was like the same age as Agustina, and this woman was going to come help me, and she came for like 2 days and then she quit on me. And like, I was just crying on the podcast.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
And then she like left. And like, I was just like, I just broke down and cried. And this was, what, 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I'm right back there. I'm there where I was 5 years ago.
100%. I know exactly. I'm starting to look for school for 6th at 2. So, you know, we're both on the same train again, all over again. Never stops. Anyway, we will see you guys next week. Send help. Hashtag send help, please. I think that's it.
We'll see you
next week. Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter also at _supermamas, and in the Face at Supermamas Podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and
see you next week, Supermamas!